Welcome everyone to Parshas Ki Tavo.
Okay, go ahead.
We're at a new Parsha, but last week we started one of those important, long Rav Dessler themes. And that is the topic of Bechira, choice. We spoke, but he has another kuntris, a treatise, which is several chapters long. We've spent time studying a series on his kuntris hachesed, treatise on kindness, which is a very, very strong pillar of Judaism in the Torah. We also spent several weeks discussing his treatise on emes, truth. And this one, Bechira, really puts everything together. One of the most important, maybe the most important precept in the Torah is that God has instructed us. He's given us choices and he's instructed us to make the right ones. We quoted a verse which comes up in next week's Parsha, Nitzavim. We quoted it last week. And a well-known verse that says, this is in chapter 30. It says, just an excerpt, "I have placed life and death before you, blessing and curse, and you shall choose life so that you will live, you and your offspring." Choose life. That is the mitzvah. Right, we have many mitzvahs, but ultimately, this is the mitzvah that enables all the other mitzvahs to be fulfilled. Because we have to choose the mitzvah. We have to choose to do the right thing. We have to choose life. So Rav Dessler made a whole study and literally a science, if you will. I don't like that word, but a scientific analysis of choice. How one does it, what happens when one does it, what are the consequences of our choices. Why do people make the right choices versus the wrong choices? What is required? And we began this discussion last week, and we'll probably review some of the points, but I want to begin with something new, and then hopefully we'll backtrack. First of all, as far as it relates to Parshas Ki Tavo, I think it's a perfect match, because one of the most well-known sections of Parshas Ki Tavo is the sections known as the blessings and curses, which fits right into the verse we just read. And God basically tells us that if you choose the right path, you will be blessed. If you choose the wrong path, if you choose to go away from God, not to follow His commandments, then many consequences, many of them horrifying and disastrous, will occur. How does that whole approach play into choice? Is that what exactly is God accomplishing by scaring us so much? Why doesn't He just say these are the good things, these are the bad things, and choose the good things? Why do we have to have so many blessings and curses? And ultimately, we know that everything that God does is for the best. And we have to assume that the reason why He's giving us these blessings and curses, and such terrible ones at that, is to make the choice easier. To give us the incentive. You know, it's enough that He said, choose life. But now He's giving us a reason to choose life, because we want these things to happen and not those things. But it doesn't always work. The greatest consequences don't always deter us, do they? And therefore we have to study deeply, what is it that makes choosing so difficult? So that's what we are choosing in the, that's what we're studying in the Kuntras HaBechira. Yes.
Sin, whatever God always does, whatever for the best.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We had to put enough for the Holocaust. Was that for the best?
Well, the Holocaust was in the Parsha. This Parsha predicted the Holocaust. In fact, this Parsha predicted every historic tragedy that ever occurred. People that are involved...
People, does that make it for the best?
Well, if we start off with the assumption that everything God does is for the best, it would have to include this Parsha. Now, how do I know, why do I make that claim that everything that God does is for the best? Why do I make that claim? And that's something that we discussed many times through Rav Dessler and even through earlier Rav Luzzatto, that the whole reason God created the world was for our good. He had no other reason. There's no other reason to create the world than to be kind, to be good. Otherwise, if he's got something against us, don't create us. Don't create the world. God doesn't need the world. The whole reason that God created the world was because he is the ultimate of tov, of good. Goodness means that one gives to others, and therefore God created others to which he can bestow his goodness. And the way that he made the world was in a way that it will be truly good. The only way it can be truly good, the only way that we can truly deserve the goodness is if he gives us a choice and he says, when you make the choice, it will be good that you earned. You will earn that, you know, connection with God, which is really what the goodness is. It's hard to explain that, but you will earn that proximity, that ability to sit with God, to bask in his light, in his glory, when you choose this, when you say, this is what you want. And I'm going to give you a life, and I'm going to give you a Torah, which is going to lay out the different options. This is the way to get to that goodness. This is a way to go away from the goodness. Right? That's what all the mitzvos are. And if we didn't have an addition to that, he's going to enforce it and reinforce it with a system of blessings and curses to truly kind of convince us and to make sure that we do the good. Because if we don't do the good, we're not going to... We're not going to be able to ignore it. We're going to have to face the fact that we must choose good, otherwise there's consequences. That's what keeps us on the right path. And if we didn't have the curses, we wouldn't choose the good. And sometimes we have to learn the hard way. Sometimes we make the bad choice, and we get the consequences. And there are casualties. But it's that thing, and I'm not saying why that happened, and now at this time, and those people, and etc. There's a lot that we don't understand. But the result is, when tragedies happen, Jews turn to God. That's what happens, and that's what the Torah says, is why the curses are there. Hopefully it'll deter you, and if it doesn't deter you, it will knock you back the other way. So this is all to help us make our choices.
Yeah, but the Crusades and the Holocaust, pretty harsh.
Yeah, very harsh. Read this Parsha. You will not, if you, after reading this Parsha, you will look at a history book and you will say, I read it in the Parsha. Look at these pages, read these pages, and you will see that everything that you've ever read in a history book is here. Is here. Not by name and geography, but all of the events are here. Why did he do it? Is it what's so good about it? It's good in the end, in the ultimate scheme. The ultimate scheme is that Jewish people have kept on the path. We've wavered, we've gone off, but we have kept on the path because this system has been in place. And this has reminded us that we're Jews. You know, for some people, it was the Holocaust that reminded them that they were Jews. It sounds drastic, but we needed it. We needed to remain on the path. So that's the connection between the Parsha and choice. Okay, let's start off with the following story from the Torah. Nothing to do with Kisavo now. The story is the story of Abraham and Sarah as they sat in their tent, and Abraham was recovering from his surgery, his circumcision. And he was visited by three guests who were angels, but they were dressed like men. And Abraham exerted himself to welcome them in, to provide them with food and drink and hospitality. And then, from there, they went on to another mission. That mission, anybody remember what that mission was? Two out of the three angels went on somewhere else to do another mission.
One was to get Lot, and one was to get rid of or destroy Sodom.
Okay. So the mission was to twofold: to destroy the wicked city of Sodom, and to save Lot, who was Abram's nephew, who was living in Sodom, which was a choice that he made. And although he was part of their culture, but he still merited salvation. So there's an oral tradition based on the Talmud or the Midrash that when the visitors came to Sodom, we know from the Chumash that Lot saw them and he took them in. Now in Sodom, hospitality was against the law. That's why they were being destroyed, actually, because they had no sense of chesed. They had no sense of kindness or goodness. And that's why they were being destroyed. And here Lot was defying their way of life and taking them in. And he risked his life, because the Torah tells how the men of the city came around the house of Lot and said, "What are you doing with a guest? Send them out on the street, and they'll get what they really deserve." And Lot said, "No, they're in my house, and you're going to have to over my," basically he said, "over my dead body." And they tried to break down the door, and it's only because the angels went outside and struck, they were angels, they struck the men of the city with blindness, it says. I don't know, maybe it was tear gas. The mob, they settled the mob with tear gas. But whatever it was, they were struck with blindness and they couldn't hurt Lot. But without them, Lot would have kept those men until, you know, they killed him. A tremendous act of righteousness, of piety, of kindness, to the point of death, literally. All right, so Lot's got great... Lot's got great merits. So now the one angel says, "Okay, Lot, you've got to get out of the city because we're going to destroy the city." And Lot's kind of hesitating. Doesn't know if he wants to leave. And finally, they just yanked him out and they said, "You're coming with us. You know, God decreed that you should be spared from the destruction of Sodom." Now, here's where the oral tradition comes in. Oral tradition comes in and says, what was the merit for Lot to be saved? Well, we would assume that his merit was that since he was raised in Abraham's house, he still had Abraham's traits. As we see, he demonstrated the trait of chesed, the trait of kindness. And because he was kind, he demonstrated that he was not like the people of Sodom, personally. And therefore, he didn't deserve to be destroyed with them. That's not the reason that's given. So this goes back years before. The reason why Lot was spared from Sodom was that years before, when Lot was still a young man living with Abraham, before he had gone his separate way, they were traveling, because of the famine in Canaan, they were traveling down to Mitzrayim. And Abraham, knowing full well what kind of people were there, immoral people, knowing also full well that Sarah was a beautiful, undescribable person, and that the king would lay eyes on her, or the servants, and would want to take her, and because he would never stoop to the level of taking another man's wife. They would just kill Avraham, and then she wouldn't be a married woman. So Avraham knew that this would happen, and therefore he told Sarah to hide, or to say to say is my sister. Now Lot was there. Now this is what's going through Lot's mind. Lot's a young man. Avraham has no children. Right now Lot is his nephew. He's his sole heir. Lot, this is what's going through Lot's mind. The rabbis tell us, if they kill Avraham, and Avraham was very wealthy. Hashem made him wealthy. So Lot's going to say, if they kill Avraham, I'll get his fortune. And therefore, as they stood there at the customs line, Lot was struggling, should I spill the beans? Should I say that Sarah is really Avraham's wife? And he had this tremendous struggle inside of him. And you know what he decided? He's not going to do it. And so he kept quiet. Say the rabbis, say the sages, the reason why Lot was spared from the destruction of Sodom was because he didn't squeal. That's why he did such a good deed that he didn't have his uncle killed. That's why he was rewarded. Because he wasn't accomplice to the murder of Avraham. That's why he was rewarded. What about, that's not the best thing he did in his life. What about what just happened in Sodom now? Rav Dessler asks. What about the fact that he risked his life for the mitzvah of Hachnasas Archim? But he's all right, so he wasn't perfect in every way, but I mean he literally risked his life for the mitzvah of hospitality. Why doesn't he get credit for that? Why isn't that the reason that's given? The reason, because he didn't have Avraham killed, that's a merit for him. That's considered a good deed. It's like walking down the street. Hey, everybody, I'm a big tzaddik. You know what I just did today? I didn't commit murder. See how righteous I am? Is that something to be commended? So Rav Dessler says, and this just shakes us down to the core in terms of what the mitzvah of Bechira really is, choice. Says, you know why Lot risked his life for the sake of the guests? You said it. Because he grew up in the house of Avraham. In other words, he didn't know anything different. He had seen that in Avraham's house. They raised him like parents. And that's what you did. When somebody came, a visitor from town, you took them in. And you took care of them no matter what. It wasn't even a question. It wasn't a test. He didn't even struggle. Because he didn't struggle, he doesn't really get so much credit for it. You don't get credit for things that you don't struggle with. Who gets credit for that? Avraham and Sarah get credit for Lot's self-sacrifice to welcome in the guests. It's because they instilled it in him. That's not a credit for Lot. Because he didn't choose that way of life. However, Lot had some other weaknesses, like you mentioned. Lot also had a weakness, as many people do, for money. And therefore, when he stood there years ago with Avraham and Sarah, he contemplated what would be, I certainly wouldn't do anything, but what if I happened to, you know, by accident, mention that Sarah is Avraham's wife, and, oh, they do something to Avraham, it wouldn't be my fault. You know, it was a slip. I could get the fortune. I'll never have to work another day in my life. He struggled with that. He sat there at the entrance to the land of Mitzrayim, and he had a judgment. He had a wrestling match between his Yetzer Tov and his Yetzer Ra, between the Emes and the imagined Emes, as we spoke about last week. And he didn't. He decided to make the right choice. He stuck with the Emes. Ah, that is Lot's ticket. That is Lot's ticket to salvation. Because that's something that he chose. That's something that he struggled with. It wasn't something which was instilled in him by others. It was his test. And that's what counts. struggling and passing our test. This is the yisod, this is the foundation of Bechira. And to just recap from last week, Rav Dessler sets forth the idea that everybody has areas in their life. Everyone can make a graph, a chart. And there are three sections in that chart. There's a section of deeds that I'll always abide by. Because that's what I was taught. Or that's what I do. It's a no-brainer. And there's always an area on my chart. These are things which I just don't do. I'm not on that level. And he's right, he's not on that level. Then there's the area in the middle. I could do and I could not do. It's up to me. I know what's right. I also know that I can rationalize. I can think of for every reason to do the right thing, I can think of 99 reasons not to do it. But I know that the one reason is the real reason. But I have to struggle with my Yetzer Hara and not to accept the rationalization, but to accept the truth. That's where I'm commanded to choose life, in that area. It's not my mitzvah to be satisfied with just doing the things that come easy. Rav Dessler says an amazing thing. Rav Dessler says that you could have a person who grew up at a certain level, let's say a certain level of observance from childhood. And he says to himself, this is the way I am. I'm proud of it. I'm gonna do this my whole life. And sure enough, day after day, week after week, year after year, he sticks with it, he's consistent, he follows the path that was set down before him. He goes through his whole life. Successful Jew? Zesser says, unsuccessful Jew. That is a Jew that never went into the middle. All he did was he did the things that he didn't even choose. He never made a choice. That's an unsuccessful Jew. That's a Jew that's not choosing, and that's a Jew that's not living. He's going to go up, you know, after 120 years, and he says, but I kept Shabbos my whole life.
Sounds like you're talking to me.
What about the one that does make a choice and chooses not to?
Okay, so when you're in the middle, God doesn't expect perfection. He expects that we're going to make sometimes the right choice, sometimes the wrong choice. Now, here's something interesting. If we make the right choice, then guess what? Our middle section is going to shift. Because every time we make the right choice, we put that deed in closer and closer into the right side. Every time we make the wrong choice, we put that deed closer and closer into the left side. And Rav Dessler says, you're accountable for those things. In other words, if you cause, by your bad choices, you cause the left side to get bigger and bigger, then you don't have the exemption. But it was on the left side. Yeah, but who put it on the left side? You did. So you're responsible for having chosen to get yourself to slide. And on the good side, if you, by practicing the right and making the right choices time after time, it becomes easy for you, guess what? This is the greatest part of it all. Every time you do that deed for the rest of your life, even when it's easy, guess what? You get the credit as if it was difficult. Why? Because you chose to make it easy. So even though now it's easy, you're credited as if it was difficult. You're credited going back to the first time you made that choice. Imagine it. A person decides to accept a new mitzvah that he wasn't taught. Starts to observe a mitzvah that he wasn't taught. And he does it, and he does it again and again and again. He's going to get more reward for the rest of his life for doing that mitzvah than somebody who never had a choice about it. The person who didn't observe a mitzvah and observes it now is getting more credit than the person who always observed it. It's powerful. It's because it was your choice. You made it easy, so you get the credit. It's incredible.
Doesn't that make it kind of hard for some people?
Yeah, what are you getting credit for?
Well, you see, Jewish life is not just Jewish life is not just, you know, one dimensional. You do this, and you've done your dues. You know, you eat kosher, you keep Shabbos.
Yeah, but you've always done that.
The Torah is vast. No one can ever do and be and understand and in terms of character traits. Nobody can ever. The job is never done. Everyone has the same job in life. And this is also so important. It doesn't really matter what level a person's on. It doesn't matter at all what level a person is on. What matters is, are they making choices that are their choices? If you start off where this mitzvah is easy, then your duty is to make choices on mitzvahs that are not easy. If you start off not doing that many mitzvahs, your choice is to do more mitzvahs. Everyone's equal. Everyone's got their own personal choice graph. So to answer your question whatever level you're on, you have to go to the next level. And as you continue to grow, you'll see the more you know, the more you do, the more you realize that you don't know, that there's so much more. Of course, our vision is, you know, it's like driving a car. You always see a certain area in front of you. When you keep on driving, you see that there's a lot more. That's the way it is. So everyone's the same in the eyes of God. Because guess, Hashem put us in our original position. This is what Rav Dasher said last week. Hashem is responsible for where we started. He's responsible for where we were born and what kind of family and what kind of upbringing we had. That was all decreed. We had nothing to do with that. We don't choose our family, right? It's what we do with it. We're all in the same boat. All in the same boat. Now, just to develop this just a little bit more. Right, one more point for now. And that is just to get a sense of the magnitude of Bechira. Just how far-reaching our Bechira is. How valuable, how powerful are our choices? You know, like a person will say, okay, I know, I realize I have free choice, but what's the difference? I choose this, I choose that, big deal. Just think, imagine this. Rav Dessler makes he illustrates. We all realize that if I make a decision today, it's going to affect what I do tomorrow. Agreed? Last week we started off with the analogy Rav Dessler gives of the smoker. The guy wanted to stop smoking. Remember we talked about that? So he decides to stop. And then, you know, the first day after his resolution, he wanted to smoke again. So we all agree that what he does on his first opportunity is going to make an impact on what he does the following. If he resists that smoke the first day, we know that it'll be easier for him to resist the smoke the second day. If he doesn't resist, it's going to make it doubly hard the next day. So decisions that we make today affect tomorrow. Well, decisions that we make tomorrow logically will affect the next day, and the next day, and the next day. It's intuitive. That's as far as time is concerned. As far as impacting others, we all recognize that the decision that I make today will impact on the people that are very close to me. Family, friends, children. And if it impacts them, who else is it going to impact? the people that are close to them. And on and on and on. Because everybody has a connection with someone else. So it comes out that every time a person makes a decision, he is making a difference for all of mankind for all time. That's the power of every single decision that we make. Again, a real decision, a decision that is in our area of decision making, our area of Bechira. Every decision we make has unlimited impact, positive or negative, on all, for all time and for all of the world. It's mind-boggling when you think of it that way. And remember, we have the power to make decisions. In the area that we struggle, that means that we are capable of knowing the truth, knowing the MS. We've already come to a realization of what the MS is. However, we allow ourselves to justify other things which appear to be true. And it is totally within our power to say, I want to choose the MS, or I want to choose the facade. That's what it's all about. That's what a choice is. It's within our power, and every choice that we make impacts indefinitely time and space and the entire world. So when the Torah says Uvocharta b'chayim, that's what it's all about. And we're thankful. Again, we have to realize the benefit. We have to read Hashem's ways are vast and beyond our comprehension. We have to realize that when God says, please choose life, and just in case that's not enough, I'm going to build into the system, you know, rewards and consequences. I'm trying to, not just am I imploring you, but I am making it, I'm giving you the reasons, I'm giving you the incentive. And I mean it. If I didn't mean it, it wouldn't be an incentive. Please, choose life. We know what he's talking about. You know he's talking to each person. You know he's talking to each person on their level. We know that he's talking to each person in an area that they can control, that it's up to them. And we know that he's asking us to make decisions that have unlimited impact on the world, on the future. And truly, each person could say, it's up to me. A person can really say, and not be conceited, a person can truly say, what I do, the decisions that I make, can really save the world. Bishvili nivra ha'olam. Everyone should supposed to say, the sages say, Chayav Adam Lomar, each person is obligated to say, Bishvili nivra ha'olam. The world was created for me, which means the world is literally resting on my shoulders. That's Bechira.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. You tend not to want to make a decision. So, are there consequences if we don't make decisions? What if we just don't decide? But that's a decision. We know that. Not deciding is a decision. We have to remember not to waste our time trying to make decisions about things that really are not up to us. Some people spend their life either not making decisions or making decisions about things that are of no consequence, of no impact. We either things over here or things over here. We have to focus when it says Uvacharta b'chayim. Rav Dessler says Hashem is telling us, make the decisions about the things that you can really decide.
Okay, very nice.
Okay, shkoach.